Some of you are probably wondering what happened because there's no outline in the worship folder today. That's because of the different nature of our service. So this is the way I've decided to do this. I don't want you taking notes during this service. That's a rarity for me, but this is kind of a worship experience, I guess. And I hope that you will be better served by giving your full attention to just walking through what is happening in the service. Now, for those of you who have to have an outline, I am posting a summary of a lot of my comments on the website where we normally put the outline. Okay? And depending upon how long it takes us to edit video today, because we're trying to get the entire service, it will be up sometime this afternoon. And you can go get that to review. And for the small groups that discuss the message, you may want to find that for your reference as well for your discussion. It's there just above or before the link to the discussion questions. All right, now a little background to the service today, because especially for any of you that may have just wandered in as guests and haven't heard the pre-announcements. A few weeks ago, I was approached by hospice to see if we would be willing to let them use our facility for a service that they do each year throughout SLO County that they call Light Up a Life. It is a service of remembrance and is pretty much targeted to people who have been in the hospice program and who have lost loved ones typically over the last year or two. It's a place for them to come to bring grief, to join and unite with others in sharing that, but it doesn't really have a spiritual emphasis to it. So I was doing some research on that and called Melly Tyler, and Melly has been involved with some of these things in the past, and we got to talking about it and affirmed it was probably a good thing for us as a church to do, so we are hosting that service next month. But it got us thinking, and she suggested, why don't we consider doing a remembrance service of our own that has spiritual underpinnings to it? Well, that kind of tapped into a nerve that was going on inside of me, because through COVID season and then not terribly long before that, I had been thumbing through our church directory and thinking and considering all of the members and friends of our church that were with the Lord since I've been here as pastor. And the number just kept and with many who were unable to have a typical memorial service during the COVID season, there was also this wrestling that I've been doing over months to how do we appropriately remember some of these people. Not all COVID related, some of them were other circumstances. But the two kind of converged, and the more we bounced ideas back and forth, the more I became persuaded, I think God is really in this. And it would be a unique thing for us to do to have this remembrance service. So what are we remembering? Well, many of you have submitted pictures, and there will be a segment in this service where we will be reading the names of all of those who are presently with the Lord that have been submitted. And part of that is to remember our own loved ones. So some of you I know have come specifically for that. I wish we could spend time talking about every one of those people, but you guys are going to want to leave, and I'll get lonely here doing that. So unfortunately, you know, each person's recognition is fairly brief. But it's also a way for us to enter in and share in each other's journeys of sorrow and loss. For some, it's very fresh and immediate. For others, it's been many, many years. Included in the pictures when we get there will be a handful of people who were foundational in the forming in the earlier years of the church. But most of them will be from the last 15 years and your family members. Above that, however, we want to remember God in the midst of it and the truth that gives us hope and guides us in our grief processes. So I hope that when you leave, you will be freer to grieve. Whatever sorrows will be mingled with some joys. We're going to look at some biblical aspects of remembrance this morning, among other things, why it can be good for us. And in the end, we're going to remember the one who gives us the hope and gather at the table of the Lord. The truth of the matter is, grief can be a good thing. In the moment, it doesn't always feel good, but grief is good. It tells us that we cherish things. There have been a host of people who have made, little anecdotal comments about it, like, love much, grieve much. Love much, hurt much. Those who have loved most deeply are the ones who experience loss and suffer with it most deeply. And sorrows remind us that somebody has touched our life. And so as we work our way through this time this morning, hopefully hearts are touched. Hopefully our hearts are touched. Clydie was kind enough to think about some of you needing a Kleenex, so we even provided those. But you're also free to laugh, free to smile. This is just kind of the way life mixes grief into the rest of our journey. The grief journey for most people is a long trail. Our culture wants us to get 2 days off and go back to work, but our hearts do not. And oftentimes, holiday seasons and special remembrances like a Veterans Day or a Memorial Day will stir up things, as will seeing someone whose resemblance triggers a memory, or smelling something that triggers a remembrance. And the holiday seasons, of course, bring lots of those family things to our mind. So as we stir up this pot this morning, my hope is that we stir it up and the aroma goes upward and it becomes a sweet fragrance to the Lord. And the joy of His comfort and peace descends down upon us. I like these words. I share them often with people in seasons of grief and in memorial services. It just seemed a fitting way to begin with Scripture this morning from Psalm 62. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, and I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people, and pour out your heart before Him. For God is a refuge for us. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, that psalm phrase ends with one of those selahs, which means pause, remember, say amen, think about it. So we want to do that. That God is a refuge for us. And as we do that, then we can draw up the memories of the sacrifice and service of people whom we have loved, who have served in this church community, who have paved a way for us to have the privilege to continue to proclaim the gospel. And in many ways, we are built upon their labors, their gifts, their investments since 1949. So bring your heart to celebrate, to sorrow, to lift up the Lord, to rest in Him. And as we begin, I want to pray. So Father, I ask that all that You are and all that You have done, the memories that You will stir up for us today, even the emotions that come with them, that they would be a part of our worship. That they would draw us nearer to You, that we would find ourselves comforted afresh, encouraged, uplifted, helped, and that we together, as Scripture enjoins us to bear one another's burdens, might walk together with even greater understanding of the loads that we often carry and of Your grand ability to carry us through. We offer this service to You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're doing a little more music and a little less preaching today. It's all kind of mixed in together. A couple of the songs I expect will be relatively new for some of you. Some I've chosen to really minister to us more than for us to sing. So I'll try to sort of guide you along as we go. But we want to begin this morning singing together, lifting our praise. We're going to start with a song we introduced 2 weeks ago called The Hymn of Heaven. It's a Phil Wickham song that just kind of lifts us up into some of the realities that we're dealing with today. So I invite you to stand and sing as best you can. If this is brand new to you, listen until you're ready to join in. And while we wait, the presence of the Lord, our security is in the refuge and strength of God, and that He will hold us fast. Do you like being remembered? On your birthday, on an anniversary, by someone in prayer. Paul writes that to Timothy in his second letter. I remember you day after day in my prayers. Maybe you prefer to remember others, like we're attempting to do today, or at a memorial service, or a Memorial Day or Veterans Day celebration. And then again, there are moments when maybe not. Like when somebody is telling a story about you and they say, I remember when, and following it comes some failure or fault. Scripture actually commands us to remember and to not forget. The not forgetting is really kind of the negative way of saying remember. If we do not forget, then we are remembering. But it's interesting how the two phrases are used at different places for the sake of emphasis. The book of Deuteronomy is peppered with remember and do not forget. And as I started working on this, I immediately went there and began reading through passages in Deuteronomy that have struck me in the past about the importance of remembrance. Now, certainly all of the remembrance is not about loved ones that have gone before us out of this world. There are many things that we are to remember. But it got me started because I started going on remember, do not forget, remember, do not forget. And one that quickly pops up is Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7, where Moses actually kind of doubles down on this, and he uses both. And he wrote to the, or spoke to the children of Israel, remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived in this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Deuteronomy is actually filled with warnings to prepare the children of Israel to enter the promised land. And a part of that were the things they were to remember and to not forget. Well, I have a Bible study tool that I use, and I'm sure some of you do too. And so I popped in these words and let it do a search through my preferred Bible. And I was surprised to have about just under 200 hits on the word remember. So I started reading through them and thinking about them. And I went back to this one, and it just sort of stirred the grist mill for me of, so what are the benefits that Scripture gives us to remembering and not forgetting? We could spend way more time on this than we have this morning, but I just want to highlight a few of you and begin with one that comes out of that verse we just read in Deuteronomy 9:7. And that is that remembering can warn us about dangers in our life. Now, one of the sad parts of a service like this is that there are some people that we remember, and our memories are not all that favorable. They have harmed us. Sometimes they have taken advantage of us. They've hurt us. They've discouraged us. They've failed to support us. And for some, in fact, they have literally abused us. But as awful as those experiences can be, they still stand on our horizon as a warning about places we do not want to go ourselves. And it points to the flip side of that coin, which is the positive. It spurs us to obedience. It spurs us to growth. So while it warns us about dangers, it also challenges us about our future. Deuteronomy 4:9, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. We don't pass on to the next generation the things we forget. So we want to stir them up. In fact, this is part of the first letter to the seven churches, the church of Ephesus, where we find there this challenge, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Be challenged to your future. Remembering also encourages us in our perseverance. The journey of earth is difficult, and we are called to press on. I find grief tries to suck the life out of us, drag us down, bring about discouragement and even depression. But proper remembrance can stir back up our longing, our desire, and our ability to press on. This is one of the purposes of Hebrews chapter 11, that so-called great catalog of the heroes of faith, those who believed God and kept seeking after His promise. And the text there eventually says, and though they didn't receive that which was promised, they kept looking for the city whose builder and maker was God. That is, it trained their eyes to keep pressing on to the goal. Some of those we will remember today were snatched from us rather quickly and unexpectedly. But the vast majority of them, to my best recollection, pressed on through long seasons where they had to persevere. And so they then give us another aspect of the benefit of remembrance, which is they become worthy examples to us. And not just of perseverance, but examples of the whole way to live our life to the honor and glory of God. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Bonnie shared with me a conversation that she had recently with somebody out of the CCC area. I don't recall exactly how it came up, but the person said to her, you know, I really like going to memorial services because when I go, they challenge me in my own life. Now, I suppose most of us have a love-hate relationship with memorial services. There is a goodness to remembering someone, and then there is all the underlying things that the difficulty of those remembrances create. For those of you that have been around CCC and have been here long enough to attend memorial services that I've been asked to lead, you've probably heard me talk in the beginnings of those often about a habit, a practice, to remember, to reflect, and to recalibrate. I don't always use the same words, but here is the sequence. It's one thing to remember, which just means to call to mind or have it appear on the screen of your brain. And if we stop there, then it just kind of dissipates. But the reflecting says, now I want to think about the impact of that remembrance and then adjust my life accordingly, the recalibrating part. That is, allowing the example of someone I love and care about to continue to minister to me and even to be a tool of God in my life for good. Remembrance is a part of God's design for our worship. Our praise and thanksgiving, Psalm 111 tells us, actually flows out of our remembering Him. Praise the Lord, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. In the company of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord, and they are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is His work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. And the impact of remembering is to turn our hearts to gratitude and to praise. And the last one I'll touch on for this moment is that remembering also stirs our hope for eternity. When we apply God's promises concerning those who have passed from this life as believers in Christ, Scripture says we grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. It instills within us the desire and the longing to be together with them in the presence of the Lord, or it challenges us to consider our own eternal destiny. Some wag once defined life on earth in these terms: the time that we are granted to figure out and decide where we will spend our eternity. But even our memories raise emotion. So we laugh. We tell the family stories, the folklore of our individual experiences. And we recall the hard things. We feel the loss again. But we can be encouraged that that's not the end of the story. There is a future hope. This glorious song was shared with me by Clyde. We've played it a couple of times before, but it's one that you just need to sit and take in. We're going to let the video sing the verses on the second chorus. I'll bring you in. We'll do our best to sing it to the end. But like most of these songs, if you get more caught up in singing than paying attention to the words, stop singing and pay attention to the words. They are a significant part of our message this morning. This is called Scars in Heaven. If you want an interesting exercise, do your own search of remembering and forgetting. But one of the things you discover is that when God remembers things, it's often connected to good news. Hebrews 8 is one of those hallelujah moments, verse 12. It actually is telling us something God won't remember, but it's the good news that our mercies and our iniquities He will not remember anymore. The author of Hebrews there quotes Jeremiah in the promise of the new covenant. In Genesis 8, God remembered Noah. And it was in the context of bringing him out of, with his family, out of nearly 5 months in the ark. In Genesis 19, God remembered Abraham in rescuing Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis chapter 30, it says God remembered Rachel and gave her a son. In Exodus chapter 2, God remembered his covenant, and it prompted him in his redeeming work of Israel, which is, by the way, a theme looking forward to Christmas that resurfaces in the songs of Mary and Zechariah in the opening chapter of Luke's Gospel. Here's the point. Knowing that God remembers is a mark of hope and new possibilities. There are a lot of places we can go in the Bible to talk about the hope and its related things for us who remember those who have gone before us in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 is one of those prime passages. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole thing, but here are several things that come out of that. Number one, it says we have hope because though we grieve, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. It gives us a promise of reunion, for the dead in Christ will rise first. And those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up with them to be forever with the Lord. And it brings about comfort, for Paul ends that section by saying, therefore, comfort each other with these words. Psalm 30, verse 11 tells us, God will turn our mourning into dancing. And maybe some of us today are not dancing yet in our grief, but it's a part of the hope of our future, that God is sufficient to bring back joy, even in the midst of our sorrows. On Wednesday night, a number of us have been working our way through the book of Hebrews, where it talks to us about Jesus, who is our great high priest, who opened heaven to us. And it says there that he sympathizes with our weaknesses, and therefore he is able to come to our aid and to bring to us grace and mercy in our time of need. Grief drops us into a visceral time of need. We feel it in our gut. We feel it in our eyes. We feel it in our heart. But we can take heart that even in our deepest sorrows, we can turn those back to the Lord. Listen to this rendering of Psalm 42. Lord, from sorrows deep I call. As we fall forward into God's arms, our hope is able to lift us to praise, and God ministers to the broken spots, even as He leads us to march forward. Millie is sick today and very sad that she can't be with us, but she brought to me a poem that she had written on the what would have been the 63rd anniversary of her marriage to Roth. We agreed it would be an appropriate thing to share because though the timings may change, the heart of it might really touch you. It's been 10+ years since you took your heavenly flight. Sometimes it seems like 100, and sometimes it seems like last night. The lingering heart-shaped hole that you left behind is like no other, but the memories that remain are a gift no one can smother. When the pain of grief is great and it seems like it will never end, that's when Jesus comes as comforter and friend. He holds me with a tender touch and speaks gently to remind me that He will fill my empty heart and always walk beside me. Keep that in mind as we share together the memory of those that we have loved that no longer walk with us. Robert and Dorothy Adams, John and Carol Alexander, Bob Anderson, Roger Aubrey and Cindy Shapiro, Alice Badsgard, Roger Baumgartner, Harry and Alma Beyer, Bob and Faye Bishop, Melsina Brixey, Coraline Brett, Carla Carey, Warren and Lenore Carter, Sam Casey, Gladys Castle, Diane Chase, Kyle Christensen, Lou Clausen, Jim and Kit Crawford, Genevieve Foy, Lila Gomes, Steve and Audrey Foss, Jay Gardner, Ray and Evelyn Gavin, Bob and Betty Gross, Jim Hald, Deanne Harland, Stuart Harvey, Barbara Heyer, Joe and Carolyn Holland, John and Eileen Houck, Bill Hunter, Billy Ion, Everett Irving, Jim Johnson, John Johnson, Evelyn Kennedy, Pam Kenyon, Paul Kenyon, Gus and Evelyn Kaiser, Karen Kotlove, Joe Kepke, Loretta LeGrand, Luann Lester, Dave Mebben, Banks and Betty Moore, Dick Morris, Letha Mount, Ella Noyes, Kathleen Ogle, Hans Olson, Susan Pizzante, Merle Plum, Betty Pollock, Gerald and Clarice Prescott, Angelo and Ricky Radumas, Jay Ramsey, Bill and Lois Rourke, Karen Rosa, Ada Schofield, Bernadette Schultz, Elaine Slater, Fred and Laverne Smith, Kenny Smith, Kathy Steffen, Ralph and Sandra Stegner, Lou Steyer, Michael Stiers, Ellen Stocking, Diane Stone, Spencer Thomas, Bob Tone, Rod Tyler, Joan Marie, Fred Lewis, and Tracy Ann Torg, Bill and Mary Vassar, Mark Walraven, Brett Walters, David Webb, Barbara Weber, Harry Waddell, Gordon Willey, Ed and Cleo Young, and with my deepest apologies for a picture missed, Sonia Alvarez.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in you, that our loved ones are in your presence, that you bless us with memories. May we realize, Lord, that you're going to call us home and that we're here temporarily. Challenge us to love one another so that we don't have regrets that we wish we'd have done this or done that. This part of the service, Lord, is for the taking of our offerings, the blessings that you bestowed upon us, materially. May we give out of a heart of love because of your abundant love to us that you have shared in so many ways, the fellowship that we have, the love for one another, the love for you, your display of love for us, that we have your promise of eternal life. So may we give a heart of love, and may you use the gifts to bring hope to others in our surrounding area as well as around the world through our mission support. Thank you, Lord, for your unmeasurable gift of love. Amen.
As your gifts are received, we're going to sing together. We begin to turn our attention to the Lord's table. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And so we conclude this morning by turning our eyes to Jesus, the one whose remembrance fills all of our losses with hope and promise. There's a museum in Jerusalem called Yad Vashem. It's the Holocaust Museum that was built there to remember those whose lives were lost and those who helped many of the Jewish people in those horrible days. At the conclusion of the museum, as you walk through it, there is a plaque that prominently stands written in both Hebrew and English. And it reads, "Forgetfulness leads to exile, while remembrance is the secret of redemption." It's attributed to an 18th century rabbi who founded the Hasidic group of Jews. And probably without realizing it, he essentially summarized the entire Old Testament after the five books of Moses. It's the story of Israel, refusing to remember God's grace and mercy, and finally experience what he warned and cautioned them about in their forgetfulness, that they would be physically exiled from their land. Yet in his redeeming love, he brought them back. And he brought them back again. And in our day, we now see this through the new covenant eyes, that the ultimate answer to this was the redemption that was to be in Jesus, the Redeemer of all. It's rather fascinating to me that just before his crucifixion, Jesus took these symbols of the Passover meal, which originated out of the slavery and exile of Israel, and he turned them into a remembrance of his redeeming love. For which cause we are instructed in the New Testament, do this, share the bread and the juice, the symbols of his broken body and his shed blood, in remembrance of him. As you're served this morning, we'll be playing another song that's just for your reflection. So use that to prepare your heart, and you've also got a couple of minutes of silence here as the men join me and we get prepared to serve you the elements.
My heart could tell a story. If my life would sing a song, if I have a testimony, if I have anything at all. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me out this way. And when I'm old and gray, all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. Oh, my joy, let my children tell their children, let this be their memory, that all my treasure was in heaven, and you were everything. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. I found my joy.
And even mixed with sorrow and grief today, or in the days coming in, or the days to follow, our heart's prayer is that you will find Jesus enough. That out of those deep pits, we discover that God is deeper still, as Corey Boom, Ten Boom once said. That He can even replace our deepest hurts with His joy. For it was out of that which faced him the deepest, greatest trial of his earthly life that Jesus calls us to this table to remember him and to fix our hope on what He has done for us. As He prayed with His disciples before giving them the bread and the cup of the Passover, we're going to pray together. So, Father, thank You that You understand everything about our earthly experience. You made us with the emotions that we enjoy. You have walked us through sorrows and losses, as well as joys and delights. And You understand what it means to lose a child. Exactly how that works in the mind of heaven is beyond us. But we know that our Savior understands and sympathizes with us in every part of our journey. We thank You for that which He willingly endured in laying down His life, that His body broken and His blood shed would become the vehicle by which we would have relationship with You forever, and with which comes the hope that carries us through the hardest parts of our life. Father, may we be found in You. May our joy be found in You. May our hope rest in You. For You are our rock, our refuge, and a fortress, a present help in our times of trouble. And we share these elements together now in remembrance of Jesus, in whose name we come to You. Amen. Let's say together, I'll give you the phrase and you can then repeat it with me. I remember Christ's broken body. I remember Christ's broken body. Let's eat it in remembrance of Him. And then with the cup, I remember Christ's shed blood. Let's say that. I remember Christ's shed blood. Drink in remembrance of Him. So we not only remember our loved ones who have touched our lives today, but we remember our Savior, who hopefully His life has touched us. Not just for time, but for eternity. And therefore, we can look forward to the day when we are reunited with our loved ones in Him and in His presence. So we're going to change the mood just a little bit and sing as our benediction this morning, "When We All Get to Heaven." It's a little more upbeat. Feel free to get on your feet and sing it out. And may you go forth in the grace, peace, joy, and promise of the Lord. Thanks for being with us today.